Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Ballinger.
All right, Nate, after losing a couple close games at the end of the fourth quarter against the Dolphins and the Jets, the Bills finally pull one out this past week against the Lions. As much as that doesn't help them in the draft order, you know, can never really complain about a win outside of that.
No, not at all. And I think they're kind of, I think, locked in to around that 10th spot in the draft now. And no matter what they do these last 2 weeks, I don't think it's going to – they can't change their draft position a ton at this point. But like you said, especially with seeing what they're doing with a young roster, seeing them – like the young roster figure out a way to win games is very, very encouraging.
Yeah, and it has – not that I ever lost faith in Sean McDermott, but I think it kind of reinforces, you know – the idea that he gets something out of guys that you don't really expect to do much out on the field. And if you look at what they did with that roster last year to make the playoffs, and what they're doing right now with a lot of undrafted free agents, guys that no one else wanted, you have to be impressed with it, because I don't know, it's with the talent on the roster, 5-9 is looking pretty good right now, especially with how competitive they've been and losses as of late.
Yeah, and I think something for me the last few weeks that I've really enjoyed is seeing Josh Allen lift up lesser players around him on the roster. In college, he clearly did not do very much of that, or Wyoming would have been, you know, much, much better. Now, clearly these are NFL players, not Wyoming players, so they are more talented, but they're still not great. But he's making a lot of guys, undrafted free agents, guys that were cast off smaller teams, look pretty good.
Yeah, and that's what you want to see out of a quarterback, especially one in his rookie year. A guy that has some flaws early in his career here, but it's good to see him make guys like Isaiah McKenzie, Robert Foster, just these no-name wide receivers, into productive players. And, you know, people can say what they want about the completion percentage. I think that's misguided, given that he has the longest average depth of target in the NFL. So, I don't know, it's just impressive what he's been able to do, not only on the ground, but he's starting to show me something with his arm, too.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen, long-term, he's gonna bring the Bills' offense back to a lot of what the offenses were like in the early to mid-1990s, where they threw the ball down the field a lot. And they didn't complete a lot of passes, a high percentage of passes, but everything was down the field. I think that's where the Bills are going.
Yeah, Nate, I think that's a good comparison. And, you know, you've heard me say a lot over the years, even before we started this podcast, that teams that win in January are the ones that don't play scared. They're the teams that throw the ball down the field fearlessly. You know, they trust their defense, and they go out there to win the game on offense. They don't try to milk the clock like teams like the Cowboys and the Seahawks. Those aren't teams that are going to do anything in January. They might win a game, maybe two, but they're not going to win a Super Bowl. And that's not to say the Bills are a Super Bowl caliber team. It's just refreshing to see a young quarterback already attacking down the field, because that's what you have to do in the NFL nowadays. You can't run the ball 60-65% of the time and just try to keep the other offense off the field. But that's not how you win consistently. You need to be aggressive and, you know, take the fight to the defense. And that's something that Josh Allen does.
Yeah, and the coaching staff, Brian Daboll especially, has allowed him to do more of that late in games the last few weeks. You saw it especially on Sunday, that final drive the Bills had. They let him throw on third down on that play action, that touch pass to Jason Kroom. That didn't exactly seal the game, but that was a dagger. And then he got another first down after that on the quarterback sneak. And I think the throw to Kroom was something that I don't think the Bills would have called earlier in the year. I don't think they would have let him, A, throw the ball there, and B, throw a touch pass like that at that point in the game.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe this is something different we're seeing with Sean McDermott and his coaching staff now, that they have faith in the quarterback and the offense to go out there and win the game for you, that they'll be a bit more aggressive in those situations. Because you look at teams like the Rams, the Chiefs, Chargers, Patriots, Steelers, they go for it in those situations, not just, you know, on third or fourth down, but I mean, they'll put the ball in the air in those situations. They trust their quarterback. And you know, I think that shows some faith in your defense, too. Hey, if we don't get this, we know our guys can get a stop. So to me, that just shows the confidence all the way around, not only in your defense to make the stop if you don't get it, but the quarterback can go out there and get it done for you more often than not.
Yeah, McDermott has been extremely aggressive the past few weeks. Fans might point to the fourth down early in the game this past Sunday against the Lions, where he declined to kick a field goal and punted from like the 38. But if you watch House Code warmups, he clearly couldn't kick the ball that far. He's nursing an injury, and I will forgive McDermott for that one. I think that was fair because it wasn't a long enough or short enough fourth down where it might be worth going for it there. But they got the stadium booed them. They booed him pretty hard for that decision. But I just don't think House was going to get the ball 55 yards in the air.
Yeah, and I don't know. Sean McDermott, you know, he's done some questionable things when it comes to game management and clock management, but he can get better at those things. This is a guy that was never a head coach before, always a coordinator. I think he can get better in those areas. What I really like about him is the leadership he brings to the table and what he gets out of those guys. I mean, when's the last time you saw a team that was 4-9 care like that about a game, Nate? I mean, not just like them saying it. You can tell they actually cared about winning that game, and they were excited to win it at the end.
This team plays so hard for him, and the guys that don't play hard for him disappear, like we saw with Calvin Benjamin. And speaking of Calvin Benjamin, quick little side note, he still doesn't run routes hard with the Chiefs either. I don't know if you got to watch him, especially last week or on Thursday night. He does not run hard at all. Still. He went to another team, a winning team, and still is not trying. So something's really going on with that guy. But back to the original point. The players on this team just play so hard for this coaching staff. And it's really great to see because it's been a while in Buffalo when a coach has gotten this kind of buy-in from a team and kept the buy-in. It's been consistent from day one. And it's been a long time in Buffalo since we can say that was the case.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's great to see, you know, Nate, you were at the game. I wasn't able to make it this weekend. It was really loud on TV. It's cool to see a stadium rocking like that in a situation where 5-9, well, I guess 5-8 and a 4-8 team or whatever it was going into the game are facing off. And seeing that much energy from the crowd, you know, seeing the team respond to that, play hard, you know, it's easy to give up on a season once it's over mathematically, but you know, I think that's what an exciting young quarterback brings to the table in Buffalo is hope for the first time in a long time that better days are on the horizon. And you know, that's all we can ask for at this point in the season, especially when we knew this was going to be, you know, a down year coming into it.
Yeah. Bills fans that expected another playoff run or another, them to contend for a playoff spot this year, I'm really not sure where they were getting that from. That is just beyond optimistic to expect that. This is kind of where we expected them to be. And honestly, I think they're better at this point in the year than I expected them to be. The way they're competing and the way that this football team is playing now with Josh Allen at quarterback is so much. I did not expect this whatsoever. I expected Josh Allen to struggle hard. Even if he got to play as a rookie, I did not expect this out of them whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, him sitting out those 5 weeks definitely made the Bills a worse team during that time period. But I think it helped Josh Allen's development to sit there and kind of watch things for a few weeks after playing and kind of figure the mental side of the game out a bit before he went back out there. And he said the game's starting to slow down for him a bit when it comes to processing things. And it certainly looks that way. I mean, he still makes his rookie mistakes. He had two awful interceptions against the Jets. And that's going to happen. I mean, he's a rookie. He's made, what, 8 or 9 career starts now. And he's got that gunslinger mentality. He's just got to learn to stop playing hero ball in certain situations and, you know, take a sack or throw the ball away. But he's definitely brought a lot of good to the table, too, with that gunslinger mentality.
Oh, absolutely. While he is going to make mistakes still, that is what, I mean, that's the style of football he's going to play, I think, for the rest of his career. He's going to take those shot passes and try to fit balls in windows and sometimes he's going to get picked off. He has to minimize the throws. Even they had one against the Lions. Glover Quinn, I think Glover Quinn caught that, and I'm surprised Matt Patricia did not challenge that throw to the sideline in the first half. But he's got to minimize that. But at this point in his career, what he's doing, he hasn't thrown nearly as many picks as other rookie quarterbacks. And I think Sam Darnold is leading the league in interceptions. Rosen's got 14, which is one less than that. Rosen now has more pick sixes in his career than Nathan Peterman, which is, Peterman's got 3. Rosen has 4 just this season. And Peterman played, I saw that stat on Twitter today, and I was like, oh, that's, Peterman's not the league leader interceptions pick sixes the last 2 years anymore. I think it's Cousins has 5, Rosen has 4, Peterman has 3 the last 2 years. Peterman only played more like 5 games. So, but yeah, Rosen is now the leader in pick sixes. He has more than Nathan Peterman.
Yeah. So, Nate, we'll have a lot of time to talk about Josh Allen in the offense, especially as we get into the offseason. But one thing I want to touch on here is Robert Foster a thing? Or has this kind of just been a fluke the last 4 weeks and, you know, a guy that'll kind of fade into obscurity over the next couple of years? Or do we have something here in Buffalo, a potential, you know, top three guy?
I think Buffalo has something with Foster. I will hold off my judgment until he comes back next year and looks the same or a better player, but he's drawing double teams now. He got double teamed against the Lions almost the entire second half. And there hasn't been a Bills wide receiver that got double teamed. Sammy Watkins, I guess, while he was here shortly, but to have a wide receiver that's going to get double teamed like that, if that's going to be a consistent thing, it's going to be huge for this offense.
Yeah, and it's great that he's putting up those numbers now as the de facto number one in Buffalo. Zay Jones was good for a long time this season, but he's been rough the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's been disappointing given the matchups that he's had, and he's kind of reverted back to the Zay Jones of his rookie year. Hopefully, you know, he kicks that over the last 2 weeks here and can come back to being, you know, legitimate, hopefully like number two option for them next year. But I think you're right, Nate. Robert Foster, he has the physical tools. And the more run he gets, I think the better chance he has of being a productive player for a while for the Bills. And they've got him locked up because he's an exclusive rights free agent, I believe, after this season or maybe even the season after this. And then, you know, he becomes a restricted free agent. So they pretty much control him for a few years. If they can find a decent receiver to put outside, then you have Robert Foster out on the other side and Zay Jones in the slot. Go find a decent tight end. You've got some good skill positions there.
Yeah, and another guy to keep in mind is Isaiah McKenzie, who's turned himself into a nice little slot option for Josh Allen. He had, what, like 6 catches, 54 yards. He was getting open over the middle all game until he got hurt. Well, until he cramped up. I think it was a cramp. He cramped up on that punt return. But he was catching everything thrown at him. And Josh Allen threw a couple of rockets at him from like 8 yards away, and he made the plays. And if he can, he's another guy that I think is going to have a piece in this offense for a few years to come because of the various things he's able to do. I think he's another guy who's going to be a real weapon for Josh Allen in this offense.
Yeah, I like Isaiah McKenzie as well. He kind of reminds me of a Tavon Austin type of player where he's just a gadget guy. You know, he's not going to be someone you force feed the ball to 15 times a game, but he's going to be someone. Is a good change of pace, get the defense moving horizontally, and because he can make guys miss in space and he can get separation. And you can also, you know, run jet sweeps and other creative ways to get him the ball. And that helps Brian Daboll's creativity. And I can't wait to see what Daboll's able to do when he has a full offseason with these guys and, you know, with the addition of hopefully some new pieces in free agency and the draft. I'm excited for the prospects of this offense. And, you know, I would have told you were crazy if you said I was going to say that in week 15 of the season with how it's gone.
Yeah, and not just us either. A lot of analysts out there have said, you know, the Bills are an offense away from contending. And if they can get this offense figured out, the defense is certainly good enough to win 10 games. The defense is the reason they've won 5 games this year. I mean, it's number one defense. I think it's number two defense after this week in total yards in the NFL. But still, you don't have to have a great offense. You have to have a decent offense with that defense to contend for the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Bills are in that class of teams, along with probably 15 to 20 other teams. They're a couple bounces away from, you know, 9-7, or a couple bounces away from 6-10. And that's how the NFL goes. There's a lot of parity, especially in the middle of the pack. I mean, look at the Dolphins. The Dolphins are, you know, a Gronkowski not playing safety away from losing to the Patriots, and Charles Clay holding onto the ball away from losing the Bills, losing to the Bills, and they're 5-9. And the Bills are, you know, 6-8, or maybe 7-7, if Josh Allen doesn't get hurt in the Houston game. It's just how the NFL goes. And the Bills had a couple bounces go their way last year in Atlanta and a couple other games, Tampa Bay, and they ended up in the playoffs. They're just in that class of teams right now. And like you said, Nate, if they can get a legitimate offense, they can lift themselves up out of that, you know, average tier of teams and become a contender and win 10, 11, 12 games maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's definitely where we expect this team to go in the next couple of years, where they're going to I expect the offense to get good enough, and I hope the offense gets good enough where they can do that, and where the offense is the one winning games, not the defense. If Josh Allen starts being able to outscore other teams, look out.
Yeah, I think that's an easy, simple way to put it, is if all of a sudden this team can put up points, you're looking at, you know, a legitimate contender. Because, like you said, Nate, the defense is, you know, very good. Second in total yards. I wouldn't say they're the second best defense in the league all around. They probably, you know, need another year before they reach that level. But if they get a legitimate offense to go with it, there's a lot to be excited about. And, you know, given the state of the AFC, almost every team except the Chiefs has, you know, an aging quarterback. Maybe the defense isn't very good, like the Patriots. I don't know. I just feel like the Jets and the Bills are on the upswing. The Dolphins are stuck in mediocrity, and the Patriots are Tom Brady and Gronk retiring away from being one of the worst rosters in the NFL.
Yeah, the AFC East is definitely trending in the direction of the Bills and the Jets, I think, over the next 5 years. The Dolphins again this year are going to probably be playing for a playoff spot in Week 17 against the Bills. And they only need a couple of things to go their way. And if they're that close again, I'm curious to see if they blow it up or if they go back to Tannehill. If they go back to Tannehill, I mean, they're going to be stuck there forever. And all that, I mean, I think that if they beat the Jaguars, all they need is the Titans to lose once, the Ravens to lose once, the Colts to lose once in the next 2 weeks, and they're playing for a playoff spot against the Bills. And then if they make the playoffs somehow, then Tannehill's the guy if they make the playoffs, I think. And that's even worse for that franchise.
Yeah, the Dolphins now, well, at least the Dolphins of the last 5 or 6 years to me, feels like the Bills, you know, pretty much all of the 2000s, where they're never bad enough to really hit the reset mode and rebuild the entire franchise. And they're just not good enough to ever win a playoff game. Yeah, you can get there, but is Ryan Tannehill going to win you a playoff game? Probably not, unless you're playing another crappy team. And I don't know, if I were the Dolphins, I think they need to hit the hard reset like the Bills did. Find a legitimate quarterback, not a guy that's just middle tier. And, you know, try to build a winner and not just a team that can win 9 games and sneak in.
Yeah, I mean, Tannehill is in he's 42-43 in his career, and he's gone 7-9, 8-8, 8-8, 6-10, 8-5, and he's 5-3 this year. Like, he's going to be a 500 quarterback, and the guy's 30 years old now. He is what he is. So, I think, and we saw after the first game, Bills and the Dolphins, most of the Dolphins reporters are like, yeah, the Bills are, I wish we had Josh Allen. When's the last time you heard another team say, I wish we had the Bills quarterback?
In 1993?
It's been a long time. So, that was refreshing to see. And that the AFC East is trending in the direction of Buffalo, which is something that I don't know if I ever thought I'd say that. I just didn't have faith in this franchise to find the right coaching staff, the right pieces to at least give us hope, give us actual hope. And that's what we have right now.
Yeah, and I like the prospects of free agency too, if Brady retires and Gronk retires, because all of a sudden team or players can look at the Bills and say, wow, they've got a good young quarterback, a coach that people play really hard for, you know, guys with no names. I have more talent than a lot of the guys on that team. I can go be a part of this up-and-coming team and be a star and, you know, hopefully contend not only for a division title, but hopefully for a Super Bowl someday in a smaller market that has money to burn in free agency. I don't know. I think it's a good sales pitch. I mean, living in Buffalo isn't ideal to people not from the Western New York area, but guys generally tend to love it once they get here. And I don't know. I think the Bills can make a pretty good sales pitch to some free agents this offseason, especially if we see, you know, a Brady retire.
Yeah, this is, and the last few weeks have made me think that Brady's not, he's still good, don't get me wrong, but he's not what he used to be. We saw this sort of last year. We saw a good amount of this. Brady might be falling off, and I really think he is now. And I think you're right. There's a good chance he's done. He says he's going to play till he's 45, whatever, but I don't think he'll play when he can't be great.
Okay. Yeah, I agree, Nate. I mean, he's said all along he wants to play till he's 45. He strikes me as a guy that's going to know when the physical ability has left him. And it certainly has started to look that way. The velocity isn't there anymore, with the exception of that throw he made to Cordarrelle Patterson against Miami. That came out of nowhere. That's the hardest I've seen him throw a ball in a really long time. But that game against the Steelers last night, there was guys running wide open. He was just kind of wobbling some ducks into there. And it just doesn't look like that Tom Brady anymore. I mean, it's good enough, obviously, they're going to contend in the playoffs. You don't want Tom Brady coming into your stadium in the playoffs. Yeah, we get that. But it's not the guy you feared as much as a few years ago. And if they win the Super Bowl, I think he's done for sure. And if they bow out in the first round and he plays terrible, it's hard to see him coming back.
Yeah, and with him and another guy you mentioned, Gronkowski looks slower, less athletic this year than he has any year before in his career. And that's a guy who's battled so many injuries. I would be surprised to see him play more than another season or two. And if Brady retires, I think Gronk probably goes with him.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Gronk. It came out that they had a trade package to the Lions, and he said he'd rather retire than play for another quarterback other than Brady. And Gronk looks broken out there, man. Like, that's what happens when you have, I think it's 3 herniated disc surgeries now, all the broken bones and injuries he's had. It's football's a brutal game, and once a tight end like Gronk or Travis Kelce loses that athleticism by just a little bit, they're no longer as effective as they were, or even close to it, because that was like a cheat code for the Patriots for so long. You have a guy that's 6'6", 270, that's faster than your DBs and bigger than them too. So I don't know, as soon as he loses a little bit of that athleticism like he has, I think that's it for him. Gronk knows that. I mean, people make fun of him for being a dumber guy, but he knows his body, and I think he knows when the time to retire is, and it might be this year.
Yeah, I mean, Gronk and Travis Kelce are the same age. They'll both be 30 next season, but Gronk's played 3 more NFL seasons than Travis Kelce, and the mileage on his body is significantly higher than Kelce's, and that coupled with the injuries and everything you just mentioned, I just don't see him playing more than one more season. I mean, he only has 45 catches this year. And that, I think that's his worst year since his rookie season, except for the injury-shortened year he had in, what, 2014 or whatever, 2013. So Gronk's definitely on the downswing.
Yeah, I mean, the good times don't last forever, and I think Patriots fans are going to have to come to grips with that in the next couple of years, and that's going to be great for Bills fans because, especially people our age, Nate, pretty much all we've ever known is Patriots dominance of the AFC East. It'd be nice to bring back the glory days where the Bills run the division, you know, before we were born. So, is there anything else you want to add on the Bills, or do you want to hop around the league a little bit since, you know, we're getting towards the playoffs and we got some interesting things to
I'd
talk
love
about
to hop
there?
around the league a little bit and chat, especially this game tonight that's coming out, actually just started a few minutes ago, is a pretty important game for the playoff. And there's a lot of really close playoff races this year.
Yeah, and the most interesting one to me is the sixth seed in the AFC, because you have the Ravens in there right now, and the Ravens are one of those teams that run the ball a lot, play ball control, try to beat you with their defense, and it's just really boring to watch. I don't want to watch that in the playoffs. I want to see the Colts make it. I want to see a team that's not afraid to put the ball in the air, down the field. And frankly, I just want to root for Andrew Luck in the playoffs. I want to see that comeback story. I think they're a really good team, so hopefully they can do something here to get into the playoffs as the sixth seed in the
Man, they,
AFC.
if they win out, if they have to beat the Giants and the Titans, if they do that, and the Titans at or the Titans game, no, it's in Tennessee. If they win both of those games, they basically make the playoffs. A lot of things would have to go wrong for them not make the playoffs. They win both those games, and if they really just can't lose to the Titans in Week 17, and they're gonna be in. If they lose to the Titans, they're out because that kills their chances. But I hope, and I do think the Colts are going to make the playoffs. I agree with you. I do not want to see the Ravens in the playoffs, especially with the way they're running their offense right now. That's not going to work. Lamar Jackson's carrying the ball 18 times a game. Like that's not going to happen in the playoffs. They do have to play the Chargers this week, so if they don't win that, they're pretty much out anyway. But I would love to see the Colts get that sixth seed. Any of the other teams that's in the race, I think would be going to be a very boring sixth seed. The Colts could make it interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And Nate, we told people from before the season that the Chargers were going to be really good. And it seems like it took everyone until last week when they beat the Chiefs for, you know, the whole country to wake up and say, oh, wow, the Chargers are a Super Bowl contender. And it's like, yeah, I mean, they were 10-3 coming into that game, and they've been an even better team once Joey Bosa came back. And right now, to me, that's the favorite in the AFC.
Yeah, I think especially, I mean, they could get home field advantage fairly easily. They went out, they beat the Ravens and the Broncos. The Chiefs have to go to Seattle this week. And there's a very, like, I think there's a good chance the Seahawks beat them, and that would give the Chargers the number one seed in the AFC.
How mad is the NFL going to be if the road to the Super Bowl in the AFC goes through the StubHub Center or whatever it's called that seats 38,000
That's
people?
mostly full of the other team's fans. Like, it is going to be, I think the NFL will be pretty upset if that happens, honestly. And the NFL is definitely, that's something to watch for, I think, the next couple weeks. The NFL is definitely rooting for the Chiefs. And not to say that the NFL clearly is not in the business of fixing games, but I'd be curious to see what the officiating is like in those games the next couple weeks.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I really want to root for Phillip Rivers in the AFC playoffs. I'd love to see Rivers and Luck, you know. It'd be awesome if it came down to a showdown between those two teams. Some funky things would have to happen with the bracket to get those two teams to face off in the AFC Championship game. But I think it'd be great for football and, you know, great for me as a fan because I like Phillip Rivers. I think he's an all-time great quarterback, and not a lot of people realize that because he doesn't have any rings, but it'd be great to see him finally get one.
Yeah, I think the Charger. I think it's gonna come down to the Chargers and the Chiefs, and coming out of the AFC, and the one thing with that that's gonna be could potentially be a kind of obnoxious is they play before if they have to play before the AFC Championship game in the playoffs. I really hope that however seedings and the winners break out, that they don't have to play until the AFC title game. The problem with that being, that would require the sixth seed to win the first game.
Yeah, and if that sixth seed is the Colts, I think there's a good chance that, you know, both wild cards win, because I don't find the Steelers or the Patriots to be, you know, very intimidating. Obviously, those are tough places to play, but I think a team, if the Chargers are the wild card, obviously if the Chiefs are the wild card, and the Colts, but all three of those teams can go into Pittsburgh or New England and win that game. I mean, we've already seen the Chargers do it to the Steelers, you know, without their top running back. And I can't remember if Bosa was back then or if he had just come back. But, you know, the point is we've seen it. And I'd really like to see something other than Brady and Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I agree. I would absolutely love to see a Mahomes-Rivers AFC title game. That'd be fun. That'd be so much fun. And we've seen the Patriots-Steelers play each other in playoffs 1,000 times. Even if it's like Deshaun Watson in the title game against one of those guys, I'd be pretty happy with that, or luck. Just anyone but the Patriots and the Steelers.
Yeah, it's time for the old guard to, you know, change for the younger quarterbacks, or a guy like Rivers that hasn't really been there all that often. And what concerns me with the Chiefs, Nate, even if they do end up in that AFC title game, is that defense cannot get a stop at the end of a game when they need it. And as good as that offense is, you know, they've averaged 39 points a game in their losses. That's insane. And when it comes down to it, that defense can't stop anyone.
Yeah, and that's going to really – the matchup they get in the first round of playoffs is going to, I think, be able to dictate how – if they get a tough offense in that first game, like the Colts, for example, that could be a tough game for them.
Yeah, for sure. So I think we've talked about the AFC a lot here. The NFC picture has changed quite a bit in the last few weeks. Teams like the Saints and the Rams haven't looked the same. You know, they've lost the dominant edge that they had throughout most of the season. Where do you see the NFC going, Nate, here in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I see the Saints getting the one seed. Still, they need to, if they play the Panthers twice in the next 2 weeks, they have to, if they beat them once and then beat the Steelers, which the Steelers have to go to New Orleans. I just don't see the Steelers winning that game. They're the one seed. So I think the Saints get the one seed. The Rams end up with the two, and the Bears with the three. Beyond that, I mean, there's a chance that the AFC has 10 or 6 10-win playoff teams, and the NFC only has 4, and maybe even only 3 10-win playoff teams, which before the season, would you have thought that was going to happen?
No, so not at all.
The Cowboys could win, or could have 9. Seahawks could easily have 9. And then the 6th seed could only have 8 wins, possibly, depending on how that all breaks out. I mean, because looking at the teams in contention, they all 7-6-1, 7-7. There's going to be – I think there's a good chance for 8-8 playoff team in the NFC.
Yeah, that picture has completely changed over the last several weeks. And I think Joe, the listener from Boston, had it spot on back in like week 6 or 7 when, you know, he sent us the question, is the AFC better than the NFC? Like, were we wrong in the preseason? And we weren't definitively sure either way, but it's worked out that way, that the AFC is definitely tougher than the NFC overall.
I mean, there's no question about it. Looking at the playoff teams, the NFC, there's really, at this point, 2 teams that I wouldn't want to play if I was, and that's the Saints and the Rams. The Bears defense, yes, is scary, but I just don't think Trubisky's good enough to win a game by himself. But then you look at the AFC, I mean, you have the Chiefs, the Chargers, Tom Brady in the playoffs, Roethlisberger in the playoffs. Do you want to play any of those guys? Even the Texans right now, the way they've been playing, I wouldn't want to play them either. And I think that the AFC is definitely top to bottom the better conference.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, in the NFC, there's a couple teams where you're not afraid at all of that first round matchup. I mean, if you draw the Seahawks or the Cowboys in the first round, you're not afraid of those teams. All they do is try to run the ball a ton, play ball control, keep your offense on the sideline. Like I said earlier in the pod, that's not the way you win in January. They might sneak by one round of the playoffs like that, but they're not going anywhere against the top flight teams just playing scared. That's just not how the NFL works.
The Seahawks haven't beaten anyone good this year. I mean, the only playoff team they've beaten is Dallas. All the other playoff teams, they lost to the Rams. They lost to the Chargers. They lost to the Rams again. They lost to the Bears. When they've played the playoff teams, they haven't been able to win. And I just don't – and the style they've played – yes, they've won their last – what are they, like 4-1 their last five games since started running the ball more. And they've won by running the ball, but is that going to carry over the playoffs against the better teams? I don't think it will.
No. And if you look at the way some of those games have shaken out, it's been run the ball the whole game, run the ball the whole game. Oh, shit, we need Russell Wilson to win the game for us. Well, yeah, you have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Why not let him air it out? You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. Russell Wilson's a top five quarterback in this league. Why are you playing like you're trying to hide him? And then all of a sudden at the end of the game, you know, he's become the new Phillip Rivers, where he's trailing by a score with no timeouts and 90 seconds left, and he has to try to tie the game. That's just the way it's been.
Yep, and I think the game against the Panthers was the prime example of that. They ran the ball most of the game. They went down by 7 with like 5 minutes left. Russell Wilson throws ball on the field, touchdown. They get it back, throws ball on the field, game-winning field goal. And you end up with like almost 400 yards passing that game. I think they went to running the football because they thought it was going to help them consistently win games more, but I don't think that same style of play is going to carry over and win you games in the playoffs.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, playing not to lose isn't going to be a viable strategy to win 3 or 4 straight games to bring home a Super Bowl trophy. It's just, it's highly unlikely. And, you know, we really haven't seen a winner like that. And I don't remember the last one. Maybe Trent Dilfer and that Ravens team.
Yeah, I mean the last quarterback to win the Super Bowl that I wouldn't consider to be, you know, a quote unquote elite quarterback probably be Joe Flacco, and then Dilfer before him. But Flacco was much better when he won Super Bowl than he is now. So back then he was much better throwing the football. But it'll definitely be interesting. So the last thing I want to talk about here, Alex, is that the NFL MVP race. After week 15, who do you have as NFL MVP?
See, this is a really tough question because, like we said, things have changed in the NFC. Breeze has had an all-time great season, but it hasn't been as convincing as of late. Jared Goff's been awful the last few weeks. I don't think he was ever going to win MVP. And I'm not so sure Gurley deserves it either, just because there's so many pieces on that offense, you know, that help them win games. I think you can make a legitimate argument for Aaron Donald if you want a defensive player. But to me, I think it's starting to become Mahomes to lose, especially over these next couple of weeks. And I know I haven't given you a definitive answer here, Nate. I'm trying to talk it out. I'll give you Mahomes as my first choice right now, but probably followed by Phillip Rivers and Aaron Donald.
So I've thought for most of the season that Breeze is the odds-on favorite. I mean, he is having, other than his yardage, he hasn't thrown for nearly as many yards as Mahomes, but in pretty much all other aspects, he hasn't thrown for as many yards or touchdowns. He hasn't needed to, partially, because they haven't had to play these high-scoring shootouts that the Chiefs have played for a lot of the year. But everything Drew Brees is having an all-time great season. I mean, this is one of the greatest seasons ever by a quarterback. He's completing like 76% of his passes, which is just insane. And he's only turned the ball over 4 times. Like just not, like Mahomes has thrown 11 picks, but he's going to throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, which is, it's hard, I think, to not give him the MVP award. But I think if the Chiefs win the last two games and are the number one seed in the AFC, Mahomes is the MVP. If that does not happen, if the Chargers win the AFC, I think it becomes a toss-up, honestly, between Breeze, Mahomes, and Rivers. I think it's going to be, but I really think that it's Mahomes or Breeze. I think there's a 95% chance that one of Mahomes or Breeze wins it. Aaron Donald is clearly the best player in the NFL and one of the best players ever to play in the NFL already. And I don't think it's even close. He is the best player, but there's no one even close to being as good as him in the league. But he's not going to win MVP. Defensive players don't win MVP.
Yeah, that's just the reality of it. But let me ask you this, Nate. Even if the Chiefs do lose a game and don't end up as the one seed, if Patrick Mahomes breaks the single-season touchdown record, does that make him the MVP for you?
Well, I would say I would vote for – if the season ended today, I'd vote for Mahomes. And I think I'd still vote for Mahomes, even if – as long as he doesn't completely implode these last 2 weeks. But I don't know if the voter – MVP is so often in sports tied to team success. And I think that some – there would be enough voters that would look at the Chiefs being the 5 seed in the AFC versus the Saints being the 1 seed in the NFC and take that into account. But if he breaks the all-time – if he breaks the single-season touchdown record, I mean, it's – very difficult to not give it to him.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I'm looking at Rivers' numbers right now. He's been really good this year, and I'm surprised he's not in the conversation.
Hey, by the Vegas betting odds, he's third, but he's 7-1, and Mahomes and Breeze are like 10-11 or something odds. So I mean, they're both. That's where I got that 95% chance one of them wins. I mean, they're really the only two guys with a realistic shot at this point.
Yeah, and we're recording this during the Monday night game that the Saints are playing. Saints are struggling a bit early with the Panthers here, so it'll be interesting to see how that game turns out. If the Saints lose this, that might change that a little bit. But Rivers has 31 touchdowns, 8 picks, almost 4,000 yards with 2 games to play. I mean, this is his best season by far.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know by far, but by a decent margin. And if they lock up that 1 seed, he might become the favorite all of a sudden after, you know, the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think the Chargers would need to win the AFC for him to win the award. Because of what the other two quarterbacks have done this year and the press they've gotten. But it'll be interesting to see. Did you see the touchdown that the Panthers scored, by the way?
So, no, I did not.
McCaffrey threw a 50-yard touchdown pass. That's how they scored on fourth down. So it's yes, they're winning, but the caveat is before that they really weren't moving the ball very well. And Breeze was pushing the ball. I mean, he's got 2 long passes. Ingram has two long runs. I still think the Saints win this game, but that was interesting. Little touch. And they literally just handed it off to him, and he stopped and threw the ball on the field. It was the most interesting trick play I've seen in a while.
Yeah, that's intriguing. McCaffrey's a great player. Maybe if the Panthers were anywhere near being, you know, a playoff contender, I mean, they're still in the hunt. If they're a contender, maybe McCaffrey's in the discussion, but not for this year, maybe next. Nate, anything else you want to add today, or will we leave it off for here and talk to the listeners next week?
We'll pick it back up next week. And this week, I'm looking the Patriots Bills this week. I'm looking for Josh Allen to at least make it a game. So that's what I don't think the Bills are going to beat Tom Brady in New England, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, they've kept the game close the last 3 weeks. New England hasn't looked great. We might get pissed off New England looking desperately for a win to not be the 4 seed in the AFC. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully the Bills can keep it close and maybe come out of there with a win. So that'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am your co-host,
and
Alex Pallinger.
Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us 5 stars wherever you get your podcast so others can give it a listen. Do us a favor and give us a rating wherever a review wherever you get your podcast, and feel free to share it with a friend as well so we can keep growing. You can follow us on Twitter at Bills_breakdown. Send us any questions, comments, feedback there or at BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.